Scouting elements of Hyperion's self-defense force found Colonel Fedmon Kassad almost 2 days later. He was discovered lying unconscious on one of the grassy moors which led to the abandoned Kronos Keep, some 20 kilometers from the dead city and the wreckage of the ouster ejection pod. Kassad was naked and almost dead from the effects of exposure and several serious wounds. But he responded well to emergency field treatment and was immediately airlifted south of the Bridal Range to a hospital at Keats. Reconnaissance squads from the SDF battalion moved northward carefully, cautious of the anti-entropic tides around the time tombs and wary of any booby traps left behind by the ousters. There were none. The scouts found only the wreckage of Kassad's escape mechanism and the burned-out hulks of the two assault boats, which the ousters had lanced from orbit. There were no clues as to why they had slagged their own ships, and the ouster bodies, both in and around the boats, had been burned beyond any hope of autopsy or analysis. Kassad regained consciousness 3 Hyperion days later, swore that he remembered nothing after stealing the squid, and was shipped out on a force torch ship 2 local weeks later. Upon returning to the web, Kassad resigned his commission. For a while, he was active in anti-war movements, occasionally appearing on the All Thing Net, arguing disarmament. But the attack on Brescia had mobilized the hegemony toward true interstellar war, as had nothing else in 3 centuries. And Kassad's voice was either drowned out or dismissed as the guilty conscience of the butcher of South Brescia. In the 16 years after Brescia, Colonel Kassad had disappeared from the web and from the web consciousness. Although there had been no more major battles, the ousters remained the hegemony's prime boogeymen. Fedmon Kassad was only a fading memory.
It was late morning when Kassad finished his story. The consul blinked and looked around him, noticing the ship and its surroundings for the first time in more than 2 hours. The Benares had come out into the main channel of the Huli. The consul could hear the creaks of the chains and hawsers as the river mantas surged against their harnesses. The Benares appeared to be the only ship heading upriver, but now numerous small craft were visible going the other way. The consul rubbed his forehead and was surprised to see his hand come away slick with sweat. The day had grown very warm, and the shadow of the tarp had crept away from the consul without his noticing. He blinked, wiped sweat from his eyes, and moved into the shade to get a drink from one of the liquor bottles the androids had set in a cabinet near the table. "My God," Father Hoyt was saying. "So, according to this Moneta creature, the time tombs are moving backward in time?"
"Yes," said Kassad.
"Is that possible?" asked Hoyt.
"Yes."
It was Saul Weintraub who answered.
"If that's true, then you met this Moneta, or whatever her real name is, in her past, but your future, in a meeting that's still to come."
"Yes,"
said Kassad. Martin Silenus walked to the railing and spat into the river.
"Colonel, do you think the bitch was the Shrike?"
"I don't know."
Kassad's monotone was barely audible. Silenus turned to Saul Weintraub.
"You're a scholar. Is there anything in the Shrike mythography that says the thing can change shape?"
"No,"
said Weintraub. He was preparing a milk globe to feed his daughter. The infant made soft, mewling noises and moved tiny fingers.
"Colonel,"
said Het Mastin,
"the force field, whatever the fighting suit was, did you bring it with you after the encounter with the ousters and this female?"
Kassad looked at the Templar a moment and then shook his head. The consul was staring into his drink, but his head suddenly snapped upright with the force of a thought.
"Colonel, you said that you saw a vision of the Shrike's killing tree, the structure, the thing where it impales its victims."
Kassad moved his basilisk stare from the Templar to the consul. He slowly nodded.
And there were bodies on it.
Another nod. The consul wiped sweat from his upper lip.
If the tree is traveling backward in time with the time tombs, then the victims are from our future.
Kassad said nothing. The others also were staring at the consul now, but only Weintraub appeared to understand what the comment meant, and what the consul's next question had to be. The consul resisted the urge to wipe the sweat from his lip again. His voice was steady.
Did you see any of us there?
Kassad said nothing for more than a minute. The soft sounds of the river and the ship's rigging suddenly seemed very loud. Finally, Kassad took a breath.
Yes.